Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us again here at London Media Lounge. We do weekly podcasts with different individuals that inspire us and keep us going. And I hope I hope you feel the same as well. We're trying to bring some high quality individuals, man, and just quality in the sense of like their pure smiles and love. You know what I'm saying? I'm here joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Steve Parker, the legend.
Hello, everyone.
Let's go. And today we have Mr. Alex Manzi in the house. Let's go, Mr. Alex Manzi in the building. Really a big honor for us that you're here. So, yeah, let's start about your journey, man. I know I stalked you on the internet, as you do. And, bro, I seen you with Wretch 3-2. I seen you with Bear, like, celebrities. Like, what do you do, man? I don't even know. I know you're, like, an author, a podcaster and such. But what do you do? What do you think? Like, would you describe Alex Manzi? What do you do?
It's a big question, man. I don't even know half the time. It's just me.
Yes, sir.
I'm a coach. I help people get the most out of their lives, live a peaceful, happy, and successful life.
Yeah.
Have a podcast, which is all about self-development and helping people live a happy and fulfilling life. And I also write occasionally, which sometimes turns into books, otherwise blog posts and stuff like that. So that's what I do in terms of like things with like Wretch and all that. That's like a lot of that is guests that I have on the podcast are like people that are inspiring to me. So artists, you know, authors, people with a story, with a message that they want to share, like YouTubers, like whatever, like just people who I genuinely find genuinely find interesting and fascinating, and I'm like, they'd be cool to have a conversation with. So I like message them and see how it goes, see if we get them on the podcast. Before that, I worked at Radio 1 Extra for 5 years managing their social media, which is where I met a lot of people like Wretch and famous people, as you put it, and built up like a bit of a network in the music industry. And aside from that, I like to play PlayStation, watch football, kick back, hang with my girlfriend.
Normal ass dude.
That's it, yeah, man.
Happy days, bro. But what made you choose this, man? Because I tend to think of myself as a person who, yeah, I like, that's one of the best things that I could be, is to motivate people and help them out in their personal life. I feel like I go through my daily struggles, and I feel like for the hand I've been dealt, I'm doing really good. I'm doing really well. I have overcome a lot, but I can't seem to transition into helping people with that. And you guys, you, Sachin, Mihir, people I've met recently, you inspire me in many weird way. I'm like, bro, you actually chose to do this as a career, as a full-time job, as a full-time thing. And you do your own business. It's not like you work for somebody. Mm-hmm. It's a 24-hour thing, right? So, like, where'd you get the energy from? Where'd you get that from?
I guess it's just like, you hear people say, oh, it doesn't feel like work. Like, it does, because you're working. Mm-hmm. But when you genuinely just enjoy trying to help people, like, there's a level to it where it just doesn't feel like work.
Right.
And that's kind of how I landed on it, was like, there was an incessant need and a want for me throughout my life to just help.
Yeah.
Be it like, you know, holding the door open for someone, or like offering to carry someone shopping when I see they need help, or like just helping out in my community with like football coaching, local football team, or like getting involved in other stuff. Like there was always like a just a genuineness to like wanting to help and offer. Like, if I can help, why am I not going to offer that?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. if I can help, why am I not going to do it? It doesn't mean I help out with everything.
Yeah.
It'd be impossible. But like, I've always kind of like just had that approach to things without really recognizing it. So then when I started going on like my self-development journey and all of this stuff, I realized that I can actually help people here, like with the stuff that I'm learning for myself, like having come through like some dark times myself with like depression and anxiety and suicidal thinking, like had to come through a lot to get to a point where I've worked on myself so much. I'm like, I can help people with the stuff that I've learned.
Right.
That manifested as the podcast and the original incarnation of it, which was called The Dreamer's Disease. And I was interviewing people within the music industry and sort of connected to music industry, and hearing about their stories of their careers to like inspire people to like chase their dreams. That was the kind of original idea of The Dreamer's Disease. It was like, I'm a dreamer and I'm addicted to this idea of living out my dreams. So I want to hear about other people's stories. And then as time's gone on and I kind of continued my own journey and I've done more self-development work, like the podcast has sort of evolved with me and it's become more about self-development and, you know, like just helping people live a happier life, essentially.
Yeah.
Because that's all we ever want, isn't it? Like all this stuff we do, right? I want to do this. I want to go to therapy. I want to have like loads of money. I want to have a big house. Why do you want to do all of that? Because you want to be happy.
Yeah.
So if you can help someone live a happier life, like why not?
True. You know? I was asking, Steve, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I was just going to wind back to how you got the job at One Extra. That sounds quite cool in the first place.
Yeah, but, let's get there. Let's get a better question now I had in mind.
So there's a theme throughout my life, right, of just falling into things.
Oh, right.
So when I left school, I didn't want to go to uni. I wanted to get a job in like the kind of advertising creative industry, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know what I was going to do because I didn't know why I enjoyed it. It was just like that looks cool, creative. Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen. I ended up working in a factory for 2.5 years.
Which factory? What factory?
It was a family friend's factory making blank canvases like for artists to paint onto.
You still were in the creative kind of sector.
Kind of, but I was in like the factory. I was in the treadmill, not the treadmill, the, what are they called?
Conveyor
trenches.
Belt.
I was in the trenches, yeah. Like literally manufacturing stuff with my hands, putting frames together, cutting the cloth, like using the tool. Like it's very manual labor.
How old were you then?
19.
It happens. It's all good.
First job is always a bit of a trier, isn't it? Yeah. To see that teaches you what you don't want to be doing.
100%.
I've done so many of those jobs, and I bet a lot of people have before they found.
I've done loads, man. Delivery driving.
Yep.
Cleaning.
Yep.
Worked in a pasta factory. helped like a helped like a family friend like fit windows a couple times. Like just bet like worked in my uncle's deli. Yeah, just like jobs in it. So I found myself in this job that I didn't really like.
Yeah.
I was doing it for a family friend. I was very grateful I had a job. I was earning decent money for a 19-year-old kid. I was getting paid weekly, which was insane. Still insane to me. Like every Friday, bang, there's your money. You're like, okay, cool, thank you. And I basically was miserable. So one of the things that happened off the back of that is me and my friends, two of my mates, best mates at school, we started a music blog called We Are SME. And we built the music blog up over time, just like blogging about urban music, like the rappers we liked, the singer-songwriters we liked, et cetera, like latest releases, album drops, latest videos, all this sort of stuff.
Nice.
And we built up a bit of a following within the music industry. And what happened was my friend Moz that I did the blog with, and we were doing like club nights and stuff like that, he ended up working in the music industry at like Warner and like a couple other labels.
Okay.
And I ended up getting another job after the factory working in advertising. And meanwhile, we're like building this blog over like a period of like 4 years. And we got to a point where it was like quite well known within the music industry. And this job opportunity came up at One Extra to like manage their social media. And like for me, the only social media I knew how to run was like my own account on like Twitter and Facebook, because there was no Instagram then, mm-hmm. There was no TikTok, there was no Snapchat, right? It was just those two. And also the blog, like we used to, you know, blog post, and post on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and we used to like promote our club nights and stuff on the same platforms. That was the only experience I had of social media, and I did one social media course in an old marketing job. And this job opportunity came up for a social media role at One Extra, like managing their social media. And my mate Moz was like, you should go for it. Like, it's in the music industry, it's social media, it's basically what we do.
Yeah.
But you're doing it for a big brand. And I was like, all right. So I was like, filled in this application form, didn't think anything of it, just sent it off. And then like 2 days later, I got an email like, we'd like you to come in for an interview. This is like 2013, end of 2013. So arranged interview for January of 2014, went in and just basically told them everything that I thought they needed to do better.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's so, what you need.
And I was passionate about the music and the station as well, because like the music that I enjoy and all
it's
that.
It's a huge station, man. It's a big one. It's a big one.
Huge, man, huge. And ended up getting offered the job, and that's how I got it. Just sort of stumbled into it.
And how long did you stay there?
Nearly 5 years.
You must have stories, bro.
Lots.
Tell me, sir, something that you can, you know, get away with. You don't have to mention names, but give me some sauce.
That was in the BBC Broadcasting House building or Yalding House?
Yeah, no, Broadcasting House. Okay. Yeah, Broadcasting.
So your day-to-day, how was your day-to-day?
Day-to-day was going in, seeing what was on the schedule, seeing what guests were coming in, seeing what videos were going up on YouTube, seeing what content we had in the can, and just planning, like, okay, what do we want to post about today? And I was basically in charge. Like, I was the voice of One Extra Online. Like,
really?
It was up to me to, like, post on Facebook and to post on Twitter to, like, build up the follow. They already had, like, I can't remember the exact numbers, but, like, maybe 200,000 or something on Facebook and Twitter. Right. And then I had to, my job was to like build it up, but there was no plan. Like no one had a plan. It was like up to me to come up with the plan. So I was like, all right, cool. Well, this is what I think we should do. And we just did it. So it was very like, there was a lot of freedom in it. And then obviously as time progressed, like one of the first things I did when I got there was to like, so how did it work? I think Radio 1 and One Extra had a joint Instagram account. That was it. They had a joint Instagram account. And I was like, well, One Extra needs their own Instagram account because the content's so different. Like on one hand, you've got like, it was Nick Grimshaw doing a breakfast show, I think, like Grimmy having like some guest, having like some fun, like Radio 1 type fun. Yeah. And then you've got Fire in the Booth being posted next. So I was like, there's no like.
You got nines and then you got some women.
Yeah, it's like, there's such a disparity in the audiences. Like we need our own Instagram. So it's my job to like sort that out, set up a new Instagram account, like grow the, I think I grew the account to like 350,000 or something by the time I left. Just stuff like that, like looking out for opportunities. Like I launched the first Snapchat account in BBC Radio for One Extra. Like everyone was very like, oh, we can't use Snapchat because kids use it to send nudes and stuff. And I was like, that's not really what people use it for. Yeah, like if you really understand the platform.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like we need a Snapchat
account. That's one way, but it's not the way.
But that's like, you know, senior people at the BBC, that was their idea perception of what Snapchat was, right?
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, like if you actually see the way the kids are using it and engaging in content, like we need to be on this platform because it's like, it was the TikTok of then, right?
True.
So yeah, it was just stuff like that, man. And it's really cool, like, you know, meeting loads of people.
Did you end up having a strategy that you followed when it came to social media? Because obviously you walk in there, 200K followers, like how would you even begin to create a strategy over that? So would I see, for me, if I were to approach that, I'll be like, okay, how many times am I posting? What am I posting about? And do I check the analytics before? Do I like, what? How did you approach it? Because it's such a big job.
Yeah, no, it was. It kind of unfolded like in the first 3 years. And no one set this out for me. This is just how I saw it. Like it unfolded in three stages. The first stage was like getting the internal teams on board with having someone who managed the social media. Because what used to happen was whoever was in the studio live on air would have control of Facebook and Twitter. So you'd get loads of tweets like, text us now to like request a song or like,
old school radio stuff.
Proper old school radio, like pirate radio type stuff. which is cool. Like, there was nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't working for the brand. Like you said, big brand, innit? BBC, One Extra, it's a big brand.
And so also the new generation, they're not responding to that. Nobody's calling you, man. Exactly. They're trying to see post and comment.
Exactly. So the first stage was like getting the internal teams on board with working with someone else who was posting, but also to like create branded asymmetry across the content that was going out. So to make every post look like it was a One Extra post, not just a standalone post.
So people know it's a color thing.
Yeah, whether it was a color thing or putting the logo on stuff, like just, and it having a similar voice, using the same sort of tone and phrases and, you know, the same emojis all the time. Like, it's just little, like, nuances. So that was, like, the first year. Second year was about, like, then building on that and creating content that was high quality based on the content that we had. So Fire in the Booths, interviews, live lounges.
Behind the scenes, maybe.
Yeah, but some behind the scenes stuff, like stuff like that. That was the second year, that was the main focus for me. And then like adding in like things like Snapchat and whatever.
Yeah.
And then the third year was about making bespoke content for social media. So like I did like a series that I came up with called My First Bars. So we sat down and we interviewed
artists.
So like, what was the first bars that you remember writing?
Yeah.
So like, you're talking about when they're like 8 or 9.
So
it's like, yeah, my mom's car's better than yours and stuff like that. Like, just like really shit. But it's funny because like you got these like serious rappers and they're like all like humble, like talking about their first. Like,
Bro, like, those that I'm gonna search for that one, bro. There must be some bars about teacher today told me I wasn't crap, and then I came back rat tat tat tat.
Stuff like that, yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, radio to that generation now, the sort of kids up to about 20, it's a hard sell, isn't it? Because no one in that age group, well, say no one. It's a falling age group of listening to radio.
Yeah.
Was there a sort of issue then about that, or has that come sort of later years?
Well, that was always like the big reason of creating the role that I took, was to engage the younger audience in the station. Mm-hmm. So I was like, for me, I was like, I don't care if they're listening to the radio, because that ain't my job. That's you guys' job. Like, if okay. I'm honest, like, it's your job to get people who stumble across the station to keep listening. My job is to get people online to identify with the brand of One Extra and what it's about and the values of what we're about, which is youth culture, you know, urban music, like blah, blah, blah. So it was just like, it was a similar thing,
yeah.
But I'm not trying to get people who are a Twitter follower or a Facebook follower, or Instagram follower to listen to the radio, because yeah. It's an impossible, that you can't convert that. You can't even measure that. So I was like, why don't we just build an audience?
Yeah.
Like that get what One Extra is about. Because yeah. if you go up to a kid, right? Say 15-year-old kid, and you say, have you heard of One Extra? They're either going to say no, or they're going to go, yeah. And they're going to name, like, you know, Fire in the Booth, when Fire in the Booth was still on One Extra, or like with Charlie Slough, or like they'll name, like, I don't know, some performance that they've seen in the Live Lounge. They don't, that's it. They think of the content. They don't say, oh yeah, like I listen to this person in the morning, yeah. The breakfast show, and I listen to the lunchtime radio. Like, no. It's just not kids.
It's a tricky sell, isn't it? Because if you're a commercial station, the postings that you were making on Instagram or wherever, the sort of call to action at the end of them would be either buy some tickets to a concert we're doing, or a more commercial call to action. But you're saying the call to action wasn't to listen to Radio One Extra.
No,
which is a bit weird.
Never like directly.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been like, oh, Stormzy's in the Live Lounge today, you can listen at 12. That would have been like the extreme side of it.
Yeah.
If there was like an event like that, like live now, Stormzy in the Live Lounge.
Yeah.
But more often than not, it was like, here's this performance, here's this freestyle, here's this interview, here's this like thing that was said on the station.
Yeah.
And then it's up to people to connect the dots, because otherwise you're just trying to sell them something all the time. If you're constantly going up to someone and saying, listen now, we're live on air, come and listen, like, I'm just going to unfollow you, probably.
Yeah. I like that, because you made it into its own kind of like body.
Mm.
It's like, as much as it's a radio station at the end of the day, but social media has its own kind of series. It has its own thing. And like you said, indirectly, of course, you're going to bring people into the radio. Any like fun stories during your time there? Celebrities? You know, that's what we do. You know, us little people, Alex. I'm sorry, dude. No, but listen. Any like, you know, great celebrity stories?
I won't name the artist. A big American artist.
Okay.
Performed once at one of our shows.
Male or female?
Male.
Okay.
And the head of the station, not the head of the station, but the head of like the radio online content.
Yeah.
Had to go and speak to him before the show, because it was going out live on air, so he had to go into his change room, like big, like scary rapper dude, right? He's going into his change room, asking him to not swear during his performance.
Shit. Okay.
You can imagine what he told him.
Okay, he told him to piss off.
Yeah,
did he start with F?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But then he did keep it clean, to be fair to him. So
shouts out to him, man.
So that was one. What other stuff? Man, loads of stuff. Like, I worked at like Radio 1's Big Weekend a few times. I got some like funny stories of like just the way artists behave backstage and like the kind of stuff that goes on. And like, it's just like, it's all, the thing is, you forget, right? Yeah, they're celebrities and yeah, but they're normal people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
the end of the day, of course.
Like, I got, so part of my first bar series that we recorded, we did one with Dizzy Rascal, and Dizzy was like my idol, like as an artist. That's the reason I got into like urban music.
Yes, sir.
Like, do you know what I mean? Boy in the Corner, like all of that.
So
I'm sitting there with Dizzy and I'm like, oh my God, like this is Dizzy Rascal. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, kids these days won't get it. Like,
but yeah,
like,
nah.
Dizzy, like, you don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the intern who was helping me film like messed up something with a camera. So he's like changing batteries, like doing this, finding power cables and all this sort of stuff. So I'm sitting there chatting to Dizzy, just me and him. And of all the people in all of the world that I would have thought I would have never in a million years had this conversation with, I was sitting there talking to Dizzy Rascal about Brexit.
Like, yeah, amazing. So yeah.
I don't know how it came out, but we were just talking about Brexit and like his thoughts.
Well done, man. Is Dizzy Rascal? You got to talk to him about what? Brexit. Yeah.
Mate, I don't know how, but it just happens, man.
Because, like, exactly like you said, bro, they're normal people. Yeah, exactly.
It was on his mind. I think he brought up, it was on his mind. I think he even asked me, like, what do you think of this Brexit thing? And when it was going off. Before the vote, do you know what I mean? It was like, so it would have been, what, 2015?
Yeah, at that time it was huge, wasn't it? It was massive. So
it was the COVID of the day. It's all anyone spoke about.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you know what I mean?
And did you like, obviously, you know, a lot of people like, I love that type of career. Yeah, I work with celebrities, blah, blah, blah. I do this, I do that. Yeah, amazing. That's awesome. But you who's been there and done that, what did you learn from that? What did you learn about the entertainment industry? Because, bro, like, these guys influence us on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. These guys almost control the narrative. Next to media, they really like whatever this rapper's doing, whatever this entertainer's doing, whatever Joe Rogan is doing, I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's that type of scenario. So back to, you know, the real life. What did you take from that? What did you see? What, anything interesting?
It's a great question, actually. I think the main thing for me was like I said, everyone's just a normal person. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's Denzel Washington, Will Smith, Lethal Bizzle, Stormzy, Dizzy, like whoever. Like, I'm sure there were some females that I met. I don't know why it was all guys that came to mind, but whatever.
Yeah.
You get the point. But like, everyone was just a normal person. Like, at the end of the day, they just have a big circus going on around them, right? Yeah. That was the main thing, like really seeing that. The second thing was seeing how different some people can be to the external persona they put out there.
I won't name
certain names, but like certain artists will come in who are like big personality. Like you think of them as, oh, this guy's really funny and he's like a big personality, and they're just really quiet. They barely say a word in person.
Is that comedians or?
No, artists. Yeah. Well, a bit of both, but comedians are always trying to be funny because that's
part of the nature.
But so that was another thing, was like how people are very smart with how they put their energy out there in terms of what they want people to see
online, in
the public eye. Whereas we turn the microphones down, they're there in silence, they're on their phone. Second, the mics go on. Yeah, like,
jeez,
like, it's unbelievable.
That's weird.
It is quite weird.
But it's the same in the acting world, I think. I've had experience a little bit of dealing with actors and actresses. Mm. And the same, they come into the studio very normal, very chatty. I had a few instances where actresses will be going out on a red carpet cinema thing in the evening, bring their ball gowns into the booth, so draw the curtains and change into my evening. Don't mind me. And they come out in full makeup and off they go into the Leicester Square premiere. Like, wow, that's like a different world.
But yeah, back to that point. Yeah, bro, it's a performance at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Even when I tell clients when they come in, they're very reserved. I tell them, yo, bro, you need to be animated a little bit. It's don't be not yourself. I'm not telling you to be some fucking whatever, but just crank up the thing a little bit. You want to be, it's a performance, man. As much as it is real and you're being yourself and stuff like that, but you need to, the video in front of you, you want people to keep watching. You want people to be interested in what you're saying. So you have to show your interest in what you're saying.
Exactly.
Imagine the first time you thought about it, how, like me and Steve, we do this a lot when we think of an idea and we're like so hyped up and I'm literally yelling and stuff like that. I try and bring that because that's real. Because if you do it 50,000 times and then you go in front of the camera and then start talking like this and stuff like that, you'll be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You have to bring back the performance. So like segueing into YouTube and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your journey a little bit on that one and your podcast and stuff like that. So you told us that, you know, you want to speak to people about their journeys and the dream is disease. Mm. That's a sick name, by the way, I wanted to say, because it is a disease, man. You really suffer. Mm. You really... You know, talk to yourself like you have to do it. You have to make it. You have, you know, it's heavy.
Mm. I had to bin the name though when the whole COVID thing sort of started picking up. Because I was like, you don't want the word disease in your name right now.
No, I had to
change it. But also, it was like it started to become a bit more like out of authenticity to me a little bit, because I started to edge more towards just being more present in life. So I had to like. The dream is disease thing weren't really working. So the name now of the podcast is In the Moment.
Mm.
can't be that's
beautiful name,
being present, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like for me, it was just like, it was a selfish one as well, because it was, I was listening to podcasts at the time. So part of my self-development journey was like reading books, meditating, listening to podcasts. So I was listening to like a lot of Gary Vee, like Lewis Howe, School of Greatness, NPR, How I Built This, like stuff like that. And I was sitting there one day in the gym and I had this thought that was just like, why am I only hearing like American voices on these podcasts? Like every big podcast, Tim Ferriss, like the big American.
Yeah.
I was like, where's my UK gang at? Like,
yes.
Where's my crew? Let's go. I want to hear the stories of people who look like me, sound like me,
yeah,
who have grown up in the same area or country as me.
Yeah.
And I looked around, not too hard, admittedly, but I didn't find a podcast that sort of fitted the needs that I wanted with like music and entertainment and sort of creative world.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I know enough people. I've done interviews with people behind the scenes at One Extra. I was like, I know I can host a conversation. Why didn't I just start one?
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I just started a podcast.
Yeah.
There was no real, like, there was a little bit of thought that went into it of like, what's it going to be called? Like, what's the interviews going to be like? But mainly it was like, okay, where do I buy the equipment and how do I get started?
Right.
And that was it.
And you just did it.
Yeah. I recorded one practice episode with my mate just to get a feel for like how an hour long conversation would be. And then after that, I was like, right, I'm ready to record. So I hit up like my mate BJ, who's like a really cool like young entrepreneur. I hit up a photographer, Courtney, who I knew quite well from like the music world, to ask about his journey. Just like people who I knew quite personally in the music industry that were cool, like that were artist managers or videographers or whatever. And then from there I started to go, right, what's the next level? Next level's the presenters that I know, like DJ Semtex, like, you know, DJs, artists. And I just started building and building and building. And then eventually you get to a point where you're sat down with like someone like Rich Free too. And you're like, oh, wow, like how's this
I'm
happening?
Doing it.
Like,
yeah.
But then like Rich is a super cool dude. Like that's
I saw
met
that
a few times at One Extra.
Yeah.
Like, so he always remembered me, thankfully, because we used to have chats. So it was just like a really casual conversation. There was no like, oh my God, it's Rich Free too. It was
there's no agenda
there. Just a dude who makes music. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, bro. I love that you were able to do that and you thought about the area of the world that you're in and you were like, yeah, we're lacking. I mean, the biggest podcast was is True Geordie talking about MMA.
Yeah.
And shout out to True Geordie. I mean, he's doing a great job.
The Joe Rogan of the UK, man.
Yeah, he is pretty much. But we do need people that are constantly out there. We're listening to them about life and what's going on, what's the situation. Because I feel like I know more about politics in the US than I do here. Why is that?
Mm.
It's because the podcast that I enjoy consistently bring up topics that, you know, about, yeah, they're going through it. Mm. It's their lives. But what about the people here, man? I'd like to listen to people that are my age group or, you know, give or take 10 years, whatever. But, you know, they talk about what's going on right now. But I feel like in the UK, I don't know, this could be just my opinion, people do not want to even tackle those subjects.
Yeah, we're different in the UK. Like the Americans are a lot more tuned into that. Their whole self-development business and world is massive in America.
Yeah.
Especially like LA and stuff like that. Yep. It's a very big industry over there, whereas here it's still quite small and it's still like mental health and stuff still a little bit taboo.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of been like one of the most interesting things for me is because like when I sit down and have a conversation with someone, yeah, I can talk about how you make content. Yeah, I can talk about the music and the themes in the music, but I want to hear about you and your life and your story, innit? So I'm just going to naturally, I didn't plan my questions out, but I'm naturally going to ask questions
interested.
That take us to that place.
Yeah.
Like I had Shaka on recently, who's a sick artist who I've rated for years. He just put out his debut album. And we ended up talking about like masculinity, femininity, like mental health, the importance of being yourself, like hyper masculinity, like being in clubs popping bottles when you don't actually want to be doing that, like we're just talking about looks, stuff, isn't it?
That's amazing that you were able to do that and you can do that, because a lot of people are not able to sit down and have 1 hour conversations. Like what am I going to speak about? Just speak to the right person and you know exactly what you're going to talk about. If you're genuinely interested in what the person does, their journey and whatnot, you're definitely going to have a good conversation, which let's segue into now you becoming a life coach, which is crazy. So I read this line on your website. It says, you, similar theme to one of our friends, thought. There's a problem with thought, and there's a problem with getting in your own way through thought. Am I in the right?
Kinda, yeah.
So go ahead, take it from there, my friend, because it's really interesting. And I promise you, since I've known your kind of group, I've really been paying attention to that, and you are on the ball with that. Is that the expression? You're there. Like, it really makes sense to me, practically.
Well, yeah, like, and it, because it's true, isn't
it? It's true.
Like, it's a fact.
Yeah,
like,
so go ahead, tell people what it is. It's
basically like the premise that we live and experience life from the inside out. So what does that mean, right? So Steve punches me in the arm, like, I'm gonna be like, oh, you're a dick, that's so annoying, like, and I'm gonna feel angry, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, it looks like, because Steve punched me in the arm, that I'm now angry. That's outside in, right?
Right.
Inside out is understanding that Steve's punched me in the arm. I've had a thought that has said, well, what the fuck did he do that for?
Yeah.
And now I'm reacting to the thought.
Yeah.
So it's the thought that I've had and the reaction to that that has created the feeling that I've had.
Yeah.
Right.
The emotion. Yeah.
That's the premise of it. So it's understanding that on a very basic level, anything that you feel, any emotion that you feel, happiness, sadness, love, joy, frustration, anger, depression, anxiety, it only exists in thought. And when you understand that that's happening on a really deep level, all of a sudden stuff starts to look less like a problem.
True.
And that's it, right?
It's that's
like,
the premise.
That's the premise of it. And then there's obviously like, there's more depth and breadth and layers to it. But on the surface, that's the work that I do is based in.
Right.
So someone comes to me and says, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier, innit? Like, someone will come to me and say, right, I want to turn my business into 100 grand a year business. I want to have like this big house. I want to spend more time with my partner. I want this. Okay, well, why do you want all that? Because I just want to be happy.
Right.
That stuff out there that you think is going to make you happy isn't the thing that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have the thinking that told you you needed that stuff to be happy, you would be happy.
Yes. Yes, that's very important. It's literally what you, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. We do these late night walks in the park. Yeah, it's literally late night walks in the park.
With or without smoking.
You know, I plead the fifth, but it's beautiful time where we literally just escape the world because it's dark, there's no one there, and we're just walking in this dark park. You know, and we're just chatting nonstop. We're talking about spirituality, God, whatever. And we go deep into our journeys as men, right? One of the topics of last, I don't know, whatever, is happiness, And it's exactly what you said right here. What do you mean happy? Like, what do you mean happy? Like, this new media, this new world that, you know, you have to have cars, mansions, women, drugs and stuff to be happy. Like, is that what I'm chasing? Is that for me to be happy? So I was like, what if my happiness is just to be very average and not known, regular salary, regular person, one child? What if that's me? Like, so like, why am I causing suffering to myself? Why am I causing suffering to myself? Why am I being depressed? Why am I feeling inadequate? Why can't I talk to the right girl? Because I feel like I'm not in that really, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like we put in this unnecessary pressure because we are sold this thought of what it means to be happy. Yeah. And that's exactly why I completely support you guys, because you make people think. You make people think about what they think about. You know what I mean? So I feel like...
and if here, the thing is, right, it's like someone could be listening to this like, right, okay, so I need to change my thinking. No, your thinking isn't the problem. It's your thinking about your thinking that's the problem.
But make help someone understand that you're thinking about your thinking.
So, let's take, so you just said, right, why can't I go and speak to that girl, right? So okay, so there's a thought straight away, right, of I can't speak to this girl because, and whatever the reason is, right? That's one thought, right? But then you're thinking of like, well, why do I think that I can't think this is then stopping you doing it further? Because you could still have the thought and say, oh, I can't go and speak to this girl because she's out of my league. Does that actually physically stop you from going over to her and saying hello?
Yeah.
Probably not, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't, right? But what does stop you from going over and saying hello is putting a meaning, a personal meaning on what it will mean to you if she doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
you create a story of like, it means I'm not good enough, it means I'm ugly, it means I'm this, it means I'm that, la, 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 la.
That's successful enough, whatever.
Yeah, that's thinking about thinking.
Yeah.
So maybe started out, you can say like, here's a microphone, think about it in a business sense. I'm going to go to that woman and I'm going to interview her. So go to her and say, look, excuse me, would you mind if I just chat to you for 5 minutes about this interview we're doing?
Yeah.
If she says no, it's a business saying no. It's not.
Yeah. It's not personal. You're not making it personal to you. Yeah. Right. And this is the thing. So what's behind that original thought of like, I can't go and speak to that girl. Well, the original thing behind that thought is that you want something from her.
Yeah.
You want
acceptance or some
acceptance,
shit.
Acceptance, validation. You want a date. You want to fuck her. You want to marry her. You want her children, whatever, right? You want to create an outcome from having had a conversation with her.
Yeah.
If I said to you, all right, let's just wipe the slate clean. If you knew, right, that it didn't matter what happened, if you went and spoke to her or not, like, could you do it? Well, yeah, you probably could. You just say hello. Hi, my name's Alex. How's it going? Been here before. Weather's nice today.
That's it.
I think your walk in the park should be a podcast, maybe. We should mic you up next time.
Bro, my walk in the park is literally my most, is myself having unmasked myself from every fucking persona I've ever put in my life. And I need that time. I need to express myself with certain friends like that, to be very vulnerable with the right people and just go deep into the struggles of what I go through as a man. And they do the same thing. And I always speak to them about what you guys say about challenge your thoughts. Think about, why am I thinking like this? Mm. Because the only thing that's stopping you, like you guys preach, is the only thing from stopping you from achieving what you want to achieve is literally you and nothing else. The outside world is outside of your control. Your inner world is completely under your control to a certain extent. There are some, you know, diseases and mental problems and DNA issues, of course, but you know, most of the time you're under control of that. So make sure you challenge the thought behind the thought.
Mm.
That's it. And I appreciate you guys for doing that, man. Yeah. So let's speak about you and your clients now, because I feel like that's the next step now, is if someone wants to get in touch with you and they like what you stand for, because you do constantly, you release content on social media, on YouTube, and someone liked the energy and they got in touch with you. How do you go about, you know, figuring out what a person is, you know, like, because being a life coach, it's such a responsibility. We talked to a few life coaches and we told them, like, it's like, you're the best thing, like, because as men, you know, I'm sure a lot of women, they don't want to be like going to therapists and psychiatrists, bro. The next best thing and the thing that actually might help you more is a life coach, right? So when people approach you, how does that happen?
A number of ways, man. Like, people just like leaving comments, DMing me, being put in contact with me, or like they've listened to the podcast. Like, and it's never like it's very rare that someone will message me and say, Alex, I want help with this. Can you work with me and help me? Like, it might happen every now and then. They're probably the person I'm not going to go on to help.
Yeah.
Right. It's more like, it's a relationship building game.
Yeah.
It's like, spend time. If someone messages me to sit like, and shares a screenshot of a podcast they've been listening to, I just message them back, say, hey, thanks for sharing. Like, what was your favorite part of the episode?
Mm-hmm.
And just build a conversation with someone. Like, I don't know if I'm going to help someone or not. I don't know if I can help someone or not.
Right.
But if I can have a conversation with someone, that's going to become a lot more obvious to me.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm sitting there going, hey, sign up for like a free 30-minute call, and then we're going to talk about how I'm going to change your life. Yeah. And then you're going to pay me what I tell you to pay me to change your life. And we'll go from there. It's like, I might have like 2, 3, 4 conversations with some people before we even talk about working together.
Right.
Because I want to know that I want to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want them to know that working with me helps them before we even talk about it.
Right.
And it's like, it's a relationship game. And people think like, okay, to be a coach, I need to have sales tactics and a sales funnel. And I need to have calendar links for people to book calls in with me. And it's like, I started working with this client who's a coach, and he's been killing it, bruv. Like, he's been killing it in the last 3 months. He's made like nearly 12K in 3 months. Like, with working with me. And he before we started working together, he had the whole like Calendly link thing, like book a call with me,
half
an hour. Like, he was charging a few hundred pounds per session. And I did some work with him, and we just worked around like how you're building relationships with people, how you're spending time with people, how you're helping people outside of like coaching, trying to coach everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by and there's a bit more to it than that, obviously. But just by doing that and slowing him down, looking at what he's charging, looking at how much time he's spending with people, he made 12K in 3 months. Because it was like people were like getting a lot of value from the time they were spending with him, mm-hmm. and they wanted to continue working with him. And mm-hmm. then he goes, right, these are my options. Here you go. Like, and that's it. That's what we do on a basic level as coaches. It's not like I'm trying to have a conversation with someone thinking like, oh, this is like, this could be worth 10 grand or this could be worth three grand to me or whatever. It's like, I genuinely want to see if I can help you.
Right.
If I can, and you're getting a lot out of it, we can continue that if you want. It's not up to me. Yeah. If you want to, we can continue.
Yeah.
As long as I'm enjoying it as well, like we can continue.
Yeah.
But if not, cool, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, if you've still got something out of the conversation and you're done, you don't want to speak anymore, fine. That's fine by me. That's your decision.
How do you decide whether you want to work with someone or not?
You just like, there's a couple things for me, really. I think I've got to be really into what they're about as a person. I've got to be really into what it is that they want to create, which again, a lot of it just comes down to being happy, if I'm honest. So I'm definitely into that.
Yeah.
But like the ways that people want to go about it, if it's like, I want to create a life where I'm spending more time with my family and, you know, I'm giving back to the community or, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be those things specifically. They just come into mind.
Right.
But like, I want to be about those two things, who they are as a person and what they want to create. And then the third thing is I want to see how committed they are to actually making the change. I want to see if they walk the walk in it.
Yeah.
Like, because if like we're going to work together, like it's going to be fun and you're going to get a lot out of it, but it's not going to be a light load. It's not going to be like, okay, we're going to do our calls and then I'll see you next week. It's like, there might be things that I send you that I really want you to read like 3-4 times, take notes on. I want you to listen to stuff that's going to help, you know, challenge the thinking that you have, help you create new ideas about yourself, whatever. Like, it's going to be, if we're working together for 3 months, 6 months, a year, like, we're working together for that amount of time. It's not like we're working together for an hour a week for that time. No, we're working together for 6 months.
Yeah.
We've got a whole 6 months, not like 1.5-hour session every week or whatever.
So they have to do their part.
Yeah, you have to do the part. Like, I can only bring the best coaching possible to the table, but if you're not meeting me with that, then you're probably not going to get as much out of it as you would like.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things, is like seeing how committed people are. So it's just like, you know, even if it's in conversation with people, if like someone's talking to me about, oh, you know, I really struggle with like committing to work tasks or like completing my projects, I might ask them a few questions about it, like, what have you struggled with? Like, why do you think this is a problem for you? You know, how's this showing up for you? Where else does it show up in your life? And then if I've got a piece of content, like a podcast episode where I've spoken about that thing, I say, look, here's this little short 10-15 minute episode I made about, talks about commitments. If you listen to it, it will help you see X, Y, and Z, and it might help you shift this, and this. Mm-hmm. Like, are you open to listening to it? If they say, yeah, I'll send them the link. And then I'll say, cool, well, once you've listened to it, can you agree to send me your learnings? Yeah, okay, cool. When do you want to send me your learnings? About 5 days. Okay, cool. In 5 days, you're going to send me your learnings of the episode, that you've made from this podcast episode. Cool. If they do it, they're showing me they're committed.
Yeah.
If they don't, we can have a conversation around why they didn't do it.
Yeah. And it's great feedback to see.
They've obviously got commitment issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great feedback to see people, how they react to your videos and whether you're hitting it on the nail there, like when you convey something in a video. So happiness is the main kind of like reason why people want to get in touch with you, want to work with you. If we say that's 60% of the problems, what's usually stopping them from being happy? If you want to give like, I don't know, everybody's different, obviously, but what, is there some patterns in people's lives?
Thinking about your thinking about yourself.
It really is.
Do you know what, bro? It's so brutally simple that it actually insults us how simple it is. Like, that's how I feel about it sometimes. Wow. Like, when I talk with like Sachin, my coach, about stuff, or like with Ankush, another coach I work with, and I see something about my own thinking, I'm literally like, it's so simple. Like, I even know how simple it is, but I'm like, but I feel angry at the fact that I haven't seen it, because it's so simple I haven't seen it. It's like, I feel insulted by that. Like my intellect feels insulted by the simplicity of it.
Yeah, because you were causing it. That's the thing. Yeah. You had to take for someone from the outside to tell you about it because you were so deep into it, right?
Exactly. And it's like, it'd be my thinking or my thinking about the stories I have about myself or my thinking about the ideas I have about the world or my thinking, like it's all the same thing.
Dude, I have, you said thinking about the stories that I think about myself. Bro, that's everybody, right? When you think about an embarrassing moment, I have some fucking deep embarrassing moments, bro, like in my early uni days and stuff like that, and bro, they just tear me apart when I remember them. But again, once the glass has been broken about my thinking, I really, really like look at myself and think about those stories. The same story that made me cringe and want to, you know, just hide under a rock, made me laugh about it. Like, I can't believe I did that. Oh, that was so fun. I was in a completely different mindset. Basically, if you have not noticed, ladies and gentlemen, I am super into what they do. The thinking about your thinking is literally, I will preach that, man, as much as I can.
And the whole world, right, to any of us is a thought.
Yeah.
We only interpret the world through our thinking.
Yeah.
So it's inevitable that it's our thinking that is stopping us from feeling just happiness all the time.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't have the thinking, that's our, like, you know, when you reset your phone, like default factory settings.
Yeah.
That's our default factory setting is happiness, love, compassion, peacefulness.
Yeah.
That's like
default set.
That's our default settings.
Yeah.
But our thinking takes us away from that.
Yeah.
Our thinking clouds over the view. It's like, if we look out the window now, and I say, Sammy, what color is the sky?
Yeah.
You might look out there and be like, well, it looks a bit gray. No, the sky is still blue, bro.
Yeah.
You're just looking at the gray clouds. That's why it looks gray. But the sky is blue behind that.
True.
That's what it's like. The blue the blue is the sky, is always there. The same as our feeling of happiness, love, compassion, understanding, whatever. That's always there. Our thinking's like the clouds that sometimes cloud over that.
Yeah.
So anytime that you're not feeling happiness, compassion, love, whatever, peacefulness, whatever, it's probably because your thinking is creating a different feeling for you.
You clutter.
And and don't get me wrong, I don't walk around all day on like a fucking mountain, like peaceful as fuck. Like, of course not.
Hovering over the mountains, like, it's under the second not, coming.
It just doesn't happen like that, right? But you understand that as a basic, right? And you also understand that our level of consciousness throughout the day, so high state of consciousness is love, compassion, understanding, whatever. The low state is like frustration, anger, depression, stress, whatever, worry, fear, whatever, right? Like, we fluctuate throughout the day.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And if you can just understand that and not create an extra conflict about your thinking when it's not love and happiness and peace, which is what I do, I beat myself up when I don't feel like that. That's just adding more suffering and more thinking into the picture, which is keeping me in that lower state.
Yeah.
Whereas if I just go, okay, cool, that's just how I'm feeling right now because my thinking's just whatever.
Yeah.
I return to the higher state quicker.
Yeah, yeah. It's recognizing these patterns, man. Steve?
This might be a generalization, but obviously you've worked in the music industry where artists have a lot of time to think sometimes. Other times they're rushed off their feet. And especially if you're trying to get up the ladder in the music industry, do you think there's something, maybe it's the type of person in the music and the creative industry, there's a lot of mental health issues, I think, in that industry. Mm. Can we sort of trace it back to people not having a goal? Or
I think it's an interesting question because, like, I used to think that was the case, right? I used to think, like, if you're unmotivated and you're you know, struggling mental health in the music industry, like, it's because you're not, you know, haven't got enough of a drive or a purpose, or you haven't got a goal or whatever, right? But the more I see it now and I see the truth of what actually is happening, it's the fact that they have thinking about where they're currently at versus where they would like to be, and they create a conflict between the two.
Right.
So I'm hearing my life right now and I want to be over there where there's a number one album, million sales, big record
money,
pay, loads of money,
fame,
tours, and I'm not there, therefore I must be unhappy.
Yeah.
And it's not a conscious thought. It might be very unconscious, but that's the disconnect. The disconnect is like not being at peace with where you are. Like, there's an amazing quote which I shared on my Instagram the other day, and then someone asked me who quoted it originally, and I said, I'm actually not sure. It could have even been one of my own that I wrote down and forgot about, but, so I'm not gonna say whose quote it is because I don't actually know, but I'll take it if no one wants
yeah,
to
yeah,
claim
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it is happiness is being at peace with whatever is on your mind. Because that's all it is.
That's it.
No if stress. I'm saying to myself as a musician, right? Oh, I'm here and I want to have a debut number one album and da da da. Like, be at peace with the fact that you're here and not there. Because the second that you want to be somewhere else other than where you are, you're creating a conflict.
Right.
And that's just a conflict that's created in thought.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing that to your life?
It's a needless suffering.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. That's literally what it is. I am a huge victim of that throughout my life. I can tell you this. And I'm mad because at 28 now, I turned 28 last week, and I'm only figuring this out now. Like, I've been suffering for no reason.
Mm.
You see it in the acting world as well, actually, because you get some actors in the recording studio, say to them, oh, how's life, you know, and they say, I'm busy, wish I had some time off though, wish I had some spare time. Next person comes, how's life? And they go, I had one session this week, wish I had some more work. And you think, somewhere in the middle of that, there's a happy medium, but you can see it different ways, can't you? You can see it two ways. But
also there, it's like the person who comes in and said, I wish I had more time off, they feel conflicted about the fact that they haven't had time off, right? So they're creating more conflict. They've had a thought that says, oh, I should probably take a break soon. I wish I'd had a break booked in, and they don't. And now that thought and their response to that thought is making them feel a type of way about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they just see the thought as like, oh, I wish I had some time off. Oh, maybe I should book some time off then. And then let it go. They don't have the feeling of frustration or annoyance. Just see what I mean? So it's like, it's always a thought about a thought, about a thought, about a thought, about thoughts. In some cases that creates, like, your thinking is always creating your feeling. Like, we're always living in what's called a thinking feeling state. Whereas which means our thinking creates the feeling that we have, and the feeling that we have creates the experience we're having.
Right.
So right now I could be sitting here feeling stressed, right? Steve could be sitting here feeling extreme joy, and you've been crying, so you feel a bit sad, right?
No, I wasn't crying.
I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah, I was
right?
crying, actually. Yeah.
but that's three different feelings, right? That are creating three different experiences, yet we're in the same room experiencing the same moment. So the only thing that has created a difference in our feeling is the thinking that each of us have individually. Because other than that, everything else looks the same to me.
Yeah, everything's the same. Yeah, yeah. The same conversation, same words.
I think for me, and what I've learned is that structure helps me. I can't imagine retiring or that feeling of I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do today, because I think I would just fizzle up into a wreck sort of thing. I need some sort of plan and structure. Mm. Then I'm sort of happy.
But then does that then make you overstructure every day? Do you find it hard to take time off?
Not necessarily. No, I mean, take time off to go and do stuff, but then it's probably structured. Probably get structured time off. Go for a bike ride or something, you know. Oh, we're going to ride 20 miles today. It's probably a plan behind it.
Yeah.
I got a question for that. If somebody gets in the way of that structure, what does that, how's that affect you?
Yeah, there's probably some kind of a vague annoyance there when the plan doesn't go, the A-team.
Yeah.
The plan doesn't go to plan.
So that's a classic case of like, I've made this plan, I want it to go this way. Yeah. If it doesn't go this way, then, anything other than this way, I'm going to feel annoyed.
Yeah.
Like you've just created that feeling of annoyance by having the thought that it has to go this way. It goes back to the thing with the girl.
Yeah.
Like, you talk to a girl, you want it to go a certain type of way.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't go that way, you're going to feel embarrassed or annoyed or rejected. Yeah. But if you don't have that want to have an outcome that you want to have, then you're not going to have the feelings. You're just like, yeah, of course I can just go about my plan. And if it gets messed up, it gets messed up. If I talk to this girl, she doesn't want to talk to me. She doesn't want to talk to me.
It is
if she
what
does,
is.
She does. Like,
yeah.
I sort of missed a bit because you were at One Extra for 5 years. Then obviously you left And how did you become one extra social media to becoming a life coach?
And why did you leave at the same time?
Well, it was all because of the podcast, really. Like, the podcast built up a really big like head of steam at one point. And I wanted to spend more time on it, like making better video content, like and just building a brand around it a bit more. And then I was like, I had this idea of like getting into coaching. So I wanted to leave one extra to do some freelance social media work. So I wasn't working 5 days a week. I could maybe work 3 days a week. And then those other 2-3 days in the week, I could work on the podcast, like try and work on getting coaching clients and stuff like that. So I took that route first of all. And then at the end of 2019, I did a job for Spotify, which was an amazing job, to be fair.
Sick.
It was an amazing job. It was like a similar thing to One Extra. It was helping them set up the like Instagram and online content for their Who We Be brand, mm-hmm. Under Spotify UK. And I was working 3 days a week. So it was exactly what I wanted. 3 days a week, very well paid. And I was still like, nah, this isn't cutting it for me, man. Like, I feel like I don't want to be doing social media work. Like, I just don't get the same like oomph about it, which is mad because I make so much content for myself, right? So I'm still always making content.
But there's a purpose behind it.
But there's a feeling behind it. But do you know what I mean? There's like there's something.
Fulfillment.
I feel because my thinking about it, if we want to be honest, is like, this means more to me than that.
It's yours, isn't it? As well. Yeah. Your passion.
So you put more care into it. Yeah. But then, so then the coaching full time just came off of the back of that, of like, well, and it happened like beginning of last year during lockdown. It was like when the lockdown was happening, I was like, well, if this isn't even the perfect opportunity to start a coaching business, because I've got so much time on my hand and I can't leave the house for 4 months. Like, I might as well do that.
True.
Like, it just forced me to put more energy into it. I say that like I created that in myself to put more energy into it, because I was like, well, I can use this time really wisely, or I could just dick about for 4 months. And I was like, let me try and use it wisely. Might be better for my future.
And what was the situation that made you think, oh shit, I can really help people?
It just started happening over time. Like with the podcast, like people would sort of just start DMing me asking for advice and help. And then like I'd have people at work when I was still at BBC, like the interns and stuff would always look to me as someone like, because I had like the coolest job in the building, basically, pretty much.
I'd agree.
Yeah, people were like, "Oh, this guy's cool." Like, so I'd always spend a lot of time with the interns, like helping them. Like, not, I wouldn't say coaching them per se, but like,
but they turned to you.
Yeah, like I got them because a lot of them were coming in, like, you know, they wanted to be presenters, or they wanted to be some sort of like content creator, or they wanted to. So I got them because we had similar passions. Mm-hmm. I just saw there was a thing about like helping people that kept showing up, as I was saying at the beginning. And it was just showing up now in a very different way, on like seeing that I could help people, you know, with their career. That was my initial thing with like Dreamer's Disease and where I wanted to go with like the idea of coaching. But then the further I've gone into my self-development journey, it's just been more about like, let's just help people live a happier and more fulfilling life.
Yeah. It just happened naturally.
Yeah, and that might mean like someone comes to me, like my client who's a coach who wants to build his business, but okay, let's work on the fundamentals of like you being happy.
Yeah.
Because that's going to help you build a business.
And you carry on, not stop, not burn out.
Exactly. And it's like, it sounds so counterintuitive. So like I tell him all the time, like slow down, like you're doing too much, slow down.
Yeah.
You know, take an hour for lunch every day. Like it's going to be more productive. It sounds so counterintuitive. No, but I need to do, it's like that the hustle generation, isn't it? It's like
13-hour days.
I need to put in more hours to get more out of it. No, actually, if you put in less hours, you would get more out of it.
That's true.
And it doesn't make sense to us logically, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah, because I feel like this is how I would explain it, is because you are fresher. Your mind is working better. Why do you exercise? Why are the most successful people exercise? Because exercise improves the blood flow in your system. Mm. There's a lot less negative neutrons, whatever you want to call them, in your body. You think better. Why do you rest? Why do you take time off? Because you want to approach it with a fresh mind, fresh ideas, and so on. So that's why you take time off. Yeah. It's really, it makes sense in that sense. Yeah, bro, I feel like there's a pattern that we see with life coaches that it's not something that you choose to do. It's something that you notice that you you can do from a young age. We spoke to you, spoke to Sachin, we spoke to Mihir, we spoke to Sunny Patel, we spoke to Coach Mark, we spoke to many coaches. All of them are unique in their own way. But the one thing that I've seen is that, yes, they went through a lot of suffering. They went through some their own bullshit, you know, like everybody else, but they kind of, they've been in that position of helping people since a young age. And I think that's one thing that you said as well. And Mihir said it as well. And so let's switch it to us, man. Do you have any questions for us? Let's make you the podcaster, because I know you're a podcaster. So you know what to ask. Do you have like a some sort of a, you know, any curiosity about us, me and Steve, out here, London Media Lounge?
How did you guys get to this point?
Yeah. do you want to start with, let's start with Steve.
So, we'll go back to 2018, I guess. I sold a company which was doing voiceovers for actors for games in Soho. So,
well, like video games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're running a studio, getting these actors in and recording mostly for video games, other stuff as well. So I wanted to do a bit of a life change and move out to where I lived rather than commuting in every day, which was not seeing my family too much. I thought, right, I want to set up a little media place locally, and rented some office space over the road. We had a little podcast studio, a little green screen, and then I think you came along later to possibly look at some neighbouring space in the same building.
Check this out. This is bad.
Yeah.
And the landlord who was showing him round said, oh, I'll just introduce you to this guy who's in the office next door. He makes podcasts.
And let me take it from there, Steve. And let me take it from there.
Weirdly, we got chatting.
I'll tell you.
The poor landlord didn't get to sell the office to Sammy, of course.
I swear to God, it was the craziest thing I've ever experienced. Because for my side, I walked in to look for podcasting space. And then this guy telling me, what are you going to use this room for? It was a small room. He goes, £200, no deposit, just start today. Here, give me £200. I'm like, oh, sick. This is the best thing ever. And he goes, oh, but before he was about to close the door on me. And he goes, oh, by the way, what are you going to do with this space? Just podcasting and stuff. And then he goes, oh, funny enough, like the guy next door is doing the same thing. I walk in and I see a studio and I'm like, holy shit. Like whatever plans I had to do my own thing just went out of the window. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm definitely working with Steve. So long story short, the way my story goes is born and raised in Africa, North Africa, in Algeria, mm-hmm. came to the UK age of 15. My father's a diplomat. He traveled a lot.
Okay.
So we traveled a lot. You can imagine kids that travel a lot, they're kind of loners.
So you got the American accent going.
There you go. And yeah, Van Damme movies, dog. That's my dad bought me a huge set of Van Damme movies. And that's where I learned my English. So coming here also, learned a little bit of English, done my foundation program to get to uni, done that, whatever. And then, yeah, man, I was working. I never got a job. When you're an immigrant, you're not going to get a job. You know, until you become British, you have the citizenship and you have your residency, then you might be able to get a job. So I found myself, 1 year before I met him, I found myself working in a warehouse as an operations manager. Was not fulfilled. I'm not going to plead the fifth on this one. I was high most of the time. Shit. Like that tells you like how unhappy I was. Mm. So I was doing the job. I was doing it correctly in the highest quality. Whilst being high, that should tell you about the requirements of that fucking job. Anyways, I had to quit, man. I had to quit. I had the thought. Yeah, I was thinking to myself, like, you have to make something happen now, otherwise you're not. And I was like 24, 25. So I was like, when I quit, I was like, what do you want to do? Podcast. Okay, you want to do a podcast? We'll give you a podcast. Let's see what you're going to do with the podcast. So I did that, reached out to this guy after I met him first time. He left me his card. And then somehow we started doing podcasting, and then people got interested in what we were doing. Mm. And then he needed someone to edit videos. I could edit videos. And then slowly there were clients coming in because we started making a buzz about it. And I told my friends. My friends work locally and stuff, and people started to know. And then slowly but surely, a lot of clients started coming in. everything was starting becoming good. It was like, okay, we need to be a business now. We can't be just some freelancers, sole traders, whatever. We started business podcast. We started a website, social media, everyone. And every connection that we had, we told them, we tried to bring them in and so on. And then fast forward a year later, we're here. We new studio, built up some great facility. And we're trying to, you know, we're learning as we go along. We got much better. We love what we do. And we want to just do more and more and more. And yeah, just again, like at the same time, focusing on the person as well. Mm. So that's our story kind of, bro. Mm. Anything specific you want to ask? Is that answers your question? Because sometimes when you ask someone something, they just ramble and you'll be like,
because it is about not helping people as well. Isn't
yeah.
it?
That's what we are. Part of it, right?
Yeah. Here
that,
for.
That's one of the major things that I want to be fulfilled in what I do. I do not want to be just an editor. And what I want to coach you to create great content. Mm. You know, I want you to be able to do everything that I can do and more, because you are much more interesting than me, dog. I'm just a guy who just whatever. I have my own story. But there's a lot of people out there that are doing things for the environment, doing things for charities, doing things for, you know, like diversity, many things. There are professors, there are PhD level guys who have research papers that have concluded great things, revolutionary stuff, but they cannot fucking talk to a mic.
Yeah.
I want to change that. Mm. I want to be able to go up to them and be like, yo, it's one step at a time, dog. Mm. We're going to do slowly but surely. It's all under your control. Nobody else is controlling it. It's you. So there's a certain program that we will bring to the entire community. And every single one of them is going to be, everybody's going to be a content creator, because that's the world we're moving into.
100%.
Imagine the meta world catches up sooner than we think. Isn't that crazy?
I was thinking about that the other day. Yeah. Like, I could be like doing interviews in the metaverse, like 3D, like little like 3D studio, like.
Yeah.
Mad.
I know.
Sick, but it's mad at the same time.
It is mad. And it could be dangerous. And but. You know, I was listening to a debate between Jack Ma from Alibaba and Elon Musk, and they were talking about AI. Yeah. Jack Ma is a guy who is so optimistic about it. He goes, oh, don't worry about the AI. AI is going to save us. It's going to help us. It's going to take over all the bullshit jobs that we don't want to do. And humans are going to create human-to-human job, life coaching, human-to-human jobs and, you know, stuff like that. And Elon Musk is like, it's going to be way more intelligent than us. It's going to be like chimpanzees and humans. If the discrepancy is that small, then we are very lucky, blah, blah, blah. And I hope they're nice. And I'm like, what the f-? You know what I mean? So it's like, it could be anything, right? Because the metaverse, I feel like the metaverse is going to be controlled by AI. It's not going to be controlled by, controlled by people, programming, but there's going to be an AI that's going to be taking care of everything. And then the AI is going to learn how to program itself. And then we're in some deep shit. But the thing is, this is the reality. It's happening regardless.
Yeah.
So we have to catch on the wave. We have to be surfing on the wave rather than be, you know, smashed up by the wave. We have to be on top of the wave rather than be under it. And that's what we want to do in terms of like whatever we've learned in doing, because we feel like we've built our business so fast just because it's a growing industry. Mm. Everybody wants to do it. Every business wants to do it. Every guy and his mother wanted to do it because everybody got their own brand. So it's definitely something that we feel like it's beneficial for everybody to know, especially these little charities, the council, everybody who wants to be out there can do it. And I think we will find a leveled playing field in terms of who controls the narrative. We bring it back to media and media is very negative and the world is not negative.
Yeah. Yeah? You know what? It's so funny you say that, because I was having this conversation with my nonna, my grandma the other day. Sorry, Italian, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she's always watching the news.
Yeah.
Always. And she's so pessimistic about COVID and this and that. Yeah. And I said to her, I said, nonna, like, you got to stop watching the news. Yeah, I said, it's no good for your brain.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's no good for your brain. Yeah. You're just constantly consuming negative stuff. I said, you know how like sugar's no good for your body?
Yeah.
The news is no good for your brain.
That's it.
And I said, I said, why do you think I'm happy all the time? Because I don't watch the news.
Yeah, that's
she was
it.
Cracking up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, dude.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, and you know what the crazy part of it? It's not like they're doing it intentionally to do some negative news. You know what they're doing? This is apparently the case, one of it at least. Human beings react to negative news and scary news a lot more than they do positivity,
yeah.
right? And as such, media companies want to make money. They want you to click. They want you to keep watching. How do they do that? Keep scaring you. But yeah, that's it. I feel like, bro, we covered a lot with you, and I do not want to keep you a lot longer in here. We have a little final segment. Steve, you want to...
It's COVID safe.
Oh, is it?
I think we normally pick three little questions out of the fishbowl.
Yeah.
Well, I pick three.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then answer
two.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't go in too deep. They're pretty...
Some of them are pretty sexual. No, just kidding.
Oh, this is a good one. Best... Are we all answering it or just me?
Oh, no, just you. Just
no, no, I want you guys to.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Best advice you've ever received? I'll go last.
Yeah.
I need to think.
Okay, in recent memory, this is, you know, cliche because you're here, but pay attention to the thoughts that you allow in your brain. This is advice for myself to myself. Pay attention based on the conclusion I've heard. Pay attention to the thoughts that you would allow to your brain. Be careful how you speak to yourself as well. If it's not positive, it does not exist. That's it. Mm. So for me, it's either you come to me, I'm talking like myself, my conversations with myself. Either you're giving me constructive criticism, you're pointing out something good, giving me motivation, telling me it's all good, being compassionate and just, you know, keeping me going, or shut the fuck up. I do not want to hear nothing. And I'm very, very serious about that when it comes to myself. Like, I speak to myself like that. Don't not bring me negativity, man. That's it. Simple as that. Mm. So that's the advice I would say. Myself to myself, be careful what's in your brain and what the conversations. That's it. Mm. Steve?
That's not necessarily advice, but I think we probably covered it earlier on, which is just slow down and take lots of mini breaks. I think you can get work for a year. You know, these people... who Americans are renowned for it, but never having a day off.
Mm.
And it's, I think, even if you go on holiday for 2 days, that can sometimes be enough just to wind down and have a little mini break, and you come back refreshed.
Yeah,
go to the Peak District or go do some walking or whatever, just totally somewhere different.
True that. You do
rather
that.
Than trying to work massively number of hours every day.
Yeah,
go for a walk, slow down.
That's it.
Yeah, no, I'm down for that 100%. Mine is, so I can't remember who said it to me, but someone said to me, like, just be who you are, because if you're not, who will be?
Yeah, there's only one you, isn't it?
True.
And I was like, damn, that's so simple, but that hits me deep.
It is. That's a good life advice. I tend to tell people, like, there's an equation that you got created with. You know, the variables in that equation, you might share the same variable with different people, but there's no one with the same equation as you.
Yeah.
There's no one with like a written code that is similar to yours. There is no way there's another Alex Manzi out there. No way. There are people similar, but you're very unique, just like Steve is and just like I am, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to say like a snowflake, but that's the wrong terminology these days, isn't it? Snowflakes.
Yeah,
unique.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Nobody's here. Snowflake. We're 90s babies. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Millennials out here.
Let's go.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Okay. It depends. What you know? Guilty pleasure.
I'll do mine if you want.
Go on.
I used to be a bit of a mobile DJ in the 90s, so I still love 90s house music.
Yes.
Let's go. Whenever
you put on like a little Robin S, Show Me Love, there's a few tunes when I hear, I just go, yes, I want to go clubbing now.
What was your DJ name?
I used to call it Spark a Sound.
Let's go.
I used to have a camper van that I'd drive around to pubs and things.
You'd be viral these days.
Yeah.
Some of the pubs that you used to go to, I used to live up in Milton Keynes, and there was a village pubs around there. And the landladies, I could never be a pub landlady because they work so hard.
Yeah.
They'd say to me, just bring your sleeping bag and skip on the floor when you're done. Have a couple of pints. And they'd say, right, I'm going to bed now at the end of the night. The pumps are on, help yourself.
Jeez, like, that's sick.
I'm so tired. I can't even think about having a pint. But they'd be downstairs at like 6 a.m. doing the hoovering. I'm like, you've had 2 hours sleep. How do you even survive putting the carvery on?
Guilty.
Anyway, that's my guilty pleasure, 90s house music.
Love that.
Guilty pleasure. Oh, yeah, I know my guilty pleasure. There's a few channels on YouTube called, I'll tell you the names. There's one called Swag Kage. There's one called Seth the Programmer. There's one called the Amagi. And they're all anime shit. They're that's all they do. All they do is the life of Sasuke Uchiha or something like that. And he goes through the life of certain character in a certain anime that I've watched, but I remember now I put it in perspective and I'm like, oh yeah. Or speedrunning Hunter x Hunter. Have you seen Hunter x Hunter?
No.
Bro, my God. You've never seen Hunter x Hunter? Like, we're Saichin, bro. Call Saichin, you know? Because that's my guilty pleasure, is anime. It's very, okay. I'm very into anime, like on a deep, unhealthy level, but only a certain, like I capped it to like 4 or 5. I don't do more. Because there are some weird ones.
There's a lot.
There's some weird ones where a girl in a skirt is beating up a monster. And I'm like, well, what's that, bro? That does not make any sense. Where's the ninjas? Where's the powerful superheroes and stuff like that? So,
whatever. We were talking about Dragon Ball last time I was here. Remember Dragon Ball Super?
Yeah, I love Dragon Ball
Super. Still not finished it. I'm nearly there. I've got 20 episodes left.
Where are you at? Tell me, where was the last thing you remember? Are they fighting Jiren yet?
Goku's just fought Jiren and he's had his mad little transformation. But that was the last episode I watched. So I haven't got beyond that. So no spoilers.
No spoilers.
So I know where you work.
How about? Oh yeah. How about? You know Jiren, in his team, he had this one other guy, who became very powerful. Do you remember him? The guy with the mustache.
Yeah, Hit.
No, oh yeah, Hit.
No, that not was Hit. A different, top.
Topo. Top. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Did he? Where is he at?
He's standing on a rock somewhere watching Jiren fight.
Oh, so he got eliminated?
No. He's still in.
Oh,
he's still in. Okay. I'm got past that little bit yet.
Oh yeah,
it's
very fucking interesting, bro. Yeah, the next one as well. The next one is so freaking interesting.
Yeah,
the one like the next season after that.
What's the next one?
The next season, basically. Oh, but I have to. Okay, so basically, I won't. Let's move on. I do not want to. What's your guilty pleasure?
So my guilty pleasure is very similar to yours.
Yeah,
mine's Marvel World, man.
Yes,
MCU. MCU specifically, but not just like the films and the TV shows, but watching the breakdown videos on YouTube of the films and the TV shows.
Easter eggs and stuff.
Like that. I do that for days.
Bro, have you seen What If?
Yeah. How good is that?
Oh my God. The Doctor Strange one. Yeah, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, mate. That was deep.
Strange Supreme.
That was deep, man. You see what his decisions got him to? Yeah. Oh my God. That was crazy.
That was all thought. I want to make a good point here because there's a good coaching, teaching moment here.
Go on.
There's an episode in What If, I'm not going to ruin the episode, where the whole purpose of it, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is like, it's the Marvel world and what if this happened instead of that? So there's an episode where it's like, what if T'Challa, who's Black Panther, becomes Star-Lord instead of Quill?
Yeah.
And in that episode, Thanos is in it, if you remember.
Yeah, he was chill.
And Thanos is super chill, right?
Yeah.
And like, obviously, Thanos is like the big bad guy of like Phase 3, and he wanted to like destroy half the... Well, he did destroy...
He
erased half of the living life on the universe because he wanted to create balance in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in this specific episode, Thanos is like super chill, and he still wants to bring balance to the universe,
right?
But he wants to do it through promoting growth of like... plant and food on planets, right? And it's interesting because the reason that happened is because he had a conversation with T'Challa off the screen, but this is what they said. He had a conversation with T'Challa, and T'Challa made him realize that destruction wasn't the only way to bring balance to the universe. And the reason I say it's a good coaching point is because Thanos's thought was, I need to bring balance to the universe, but with the thinking that he knows and the upbringing that he's had, destruction was the answer.
Right.
But when someone showed him, actually there's another possibility, his thinking around how to bring balance changed to, I can bring balance by actually promoting growth. And then he became like
good. Some chill guy. Yeah. And he was doing his mission. He had great relationship with his daughters.
Yeah.
And
it was all, that was all his thinking around the situation changed. Yeah. And therefore his way of being around that changed. Yeah. But yeah, that's my guilty pleasure.
Hey man, how badass was Ultron? Jesus Christ, figured out the guy.
Hey, imagine, I'd love to see a film version.
About that, yeah.
But they're going to continue that series.
That's
going to be sick. What's your pet peeve?
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Pet peeve. Do I have a pet peeve even? I don't care too much about things that... There isn't much that annoys me from the outside world. It's mainly my behavior that I...
Here's one for me. People who don't care about the environment. And I don't mean that on like a really big scale. I mean little things like littering. Like, why are you going to throw your litter on the floor when there's a bin there, bro?
Yeah, when there's a bin there, why?
Why throw your fag butt on the floor when there's a bin there, bro? There's always a bin somewhere in
Yeah,
I walked around Tokyo once when I was traveling around Japan.
Yeah.
And I'd eaten a banana, like when we left the hostel.
Yeah.
I had it in my bag, ate this banana, and there was no bins. I carried this banana peel around for 45 minutes before I found a bin. Because I was like, I'm not throwing it on the floor. Even though it's biodegradable, I was like, I'm not throwing it on the floor.
Yeah.
It was like, there's no need to. I can just carry it until I find a bin. Like that would be a pet peeve.
That's a good quality. Yeah, that's a really good quality. Steve, do you have a pet peeve?
I would say people that do half a job. This used to wind me up when I used to manage this recording studio. We used to have like, I don't know, 10 staff or whatever at some point. And then, so you'd say to someone, the dishwasher needs emptying or whatever, or the, just random things in the office. But someone was bringing their cup, put it in the kitchen, left it there. And you're thinking it would have taken 5 more seconds to put it in the dishwasher. Then you've done the job. Yeah. Rather than just moved your cup from your desk to the kitchen and left it there.
Mm. It takes more effort to take it to the kitchen from your desk than it does to put it in the...
Just doing half a job. Get the whole job done. I think that's perhaps more of a business owner thing that you have to get.
Could be.
If a job's worth doing, sometimes you've got to do it yourself.
Do I have a pet peeve? My pet peeve would be...
There's probably some driving ones as well that I've got peeves of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My pet peeve... Oh, yeah, I could give you a driving pet peeve. A driving pet peeve for me is a dumb fucking driver where, you know, when there is, what do you call, just a one road bringing, one road coming back?
Yeah, single lane carriageway.
Carriageway. And someone is trying to turn. But there's traffic. Someone's trying to turn there, so they stop the entire traffic behind them.
Yeah.
So the car's coming in. Fucking idiots. Not one of them is caring that the guy needs to turn because he blocked off the entire thing. Now there's traffic. If I am just selfless, hey man, go, because you're blocking the entire thing. Yeah. I will stop for 2 seconds. That's my... I look for that. Yeah. Sorry. But I do look for that. I mean, like... Okay, oh shit, I'm gonna stop for him if nobody stops. Like, that's my responsibility. Because look what you caused, bro. He's just trying to turn around and everybody just, I'm trying to get where I'm turning. Bro, let the guy go through, man. And that's the difference between a good driver and a driver. A good driver drives for the entire community. A driver drives for himself selfishly.
That's
it.
I think, some countries, I think in France, for example, you have to let people in. That's the rules of the sort of town, that you always let people in from the side roads. But... whether that works better or not, I don't know.
Yeah, it is what it is. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they find you? Where do they go?
Best place is Instagram, at I am Alex Manzi. That's where I hang out. I reply to all my DMs. You can check out a bunch of my content, see if you can fuck with it. If not, let me know.
What's your YouTube channel?
Just Alex Manzi.
Alex Manzi. Yeah. Find him, Alex Manzi, on YouTube. He has a website as well.
Yeah, thedreamersdisease.co.uk.
Dreamersdisease.co.uk. At I am Alex Manzi on Instagram. Get in touch, ladies and gentlemen. There's great content, great personal development content on his page. Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to us. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one. Peace and love, baby.